Welcome to the Front Stretch Podcast. I am your host, Dustin Albino. Today I'm joined by my colleagues at frontstretch.com, Zach Catanzaretti and Davey Siegel, who this week is replacing Mike Neff. We've also got a special guest, driver of the number 18 Kyle Busch Motorsports Toyota, Noah Gregson. Now, tonight's podcast is brought to you by FanDuel. Go to FanDuel.com/frontstretch now to enter into a free competition at Kansas this weekend, where you will play against several of the staff and some of your favorite writers with an opportunity to win NASCAR autographed items. Go to FanDuel.com/frontstretch for an opportunity to play with us in Daily Fantasy. Now, Noah, you pulled double duty this past weekend in Dover in the Truck Series race and the Xfinity Series race, narrowly missing out on a truck win. How would you assess your weekend overall?
Well, it was pretty good. I would like to take home that badass trophy that Miles the Monster is pretty damn cool. So that was a little bit of a bummer, just wrecking out there at the end. Just unfortunate. We had a fast, safe line auto glass for the Tundra all weekend, but, you know, it just wasn't meant to be.
And no, I'm kind of curious because it seems like in your limited Xfinity Series schedule so far this season, you've kind of overperformed, at least in my eyes and some other people's eyes. You've been getting some top fives in that series, and in the Truck Series, you're still running top five and top ten, but it seems like in the Xfinity cars, you've been performing a little bit better this season than you have in the trucks. Do you attribute that to anything in specific?
I'm not sure. I just think it's, I don't know, they just came up pretty natural to me, quite honestly. So, I don't know, it's just kind of worked out in my favor. I don't feel like I'm doing anything different as a driver. I feel like I'm just driving Johnny Sauter and Matt Crafton, there's some stiff competition, not taking anything away from the Xfinity side, but I just haven't figured out those mile and a half tracks in the trucks. I feel like I run strong in short tracks pretty much everywhere. The result sheet doesn't say so at a lot of those places because I've either made a mistake or we've had loose wheels, flat tires, pit crew issues. So, I mean, a lot of it's been kind of the uncontrollable, but I still feel like I've run fairly strong at some of those same kind of places.
Yeah, and Noah, this past weekend at Dover, you and Johnny Sauter both kind of dominated the event. Did you think it was either, you know, one of you two? And then I know you're upset after the race with yourself. Why so?
Because I lost out on taking home a cool trophy and destroyed a truck. So that's unacceptable on my part. From my view, I have a job to do, and that's to win races. And so when I come so close, a lap and a half away, and make a mistake and throw it all away, I'm heartbroken and I'm disappointed in myself. There's people say, oh, he wrecked himself and everything. Which, yes, I did wreck, but I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to win a race and win it for my guys because they work so hard on building these racetracks at Kyle Busch Motorsports. And it's extremely beneficial when you can show up and have a notebook and a fast racetrack like we do each and every weekend at Kyle Busch Motorsports. So just really felt bad for myself, my team, everybody who supports me, the fans that really wanted to see me win. It's just wins don't come very often, so just so close and it slipped away.
And obviously Dover's a really tricky track too. I mean, it's the Monster Mile for a reason. Why do you think you've run so well there this year and in the past with such limited experience?
I feel like it's honestly a driver's track, and you have to have balls. I mean, flat out, you just got to have balls to get around that place. And you have to drive it really deep in the corner. You have to be on the loud pedal leaving the corner. So it's just all about whoever's going to sack up the most and willing to take those risks. And I mean, it's such a fine line there, and they call it the Monster for a reason because it will reach out and grab you. And it's just a tough place, but a lot of grip, very fast. The sensation of speed there is probably one of the highest sensations of speed you get at any track. So I don't know, I just enjoy it. I enjoy that adrenaline rush when I'm behind the wheel.
Yeah, no, I spoke to Johnny Sauter after the race. He ran both races this weekend as well. And one of the biggest things he said difference-wise was that the Xfinity car, you can't really drive as hard. You really have to back it up for the corners just with the extra power and speed and everything. Was that one of the biggest differences for you this weekend, at least?
Yeah, I think it'd be the lack of side force that the Xfinity cars have. I mean, they have no downforce and no side force compared to a truck. So, just not overdriving my entry and causing the car to be loose in. I really struggle with my lift point. I mean, we qualified second, so we were fast, but it was just hard for me to be consistent and tune on the car to make it go in the right direction. I feel like we got it pretty good there at the end. Just I made a mistake on pit road, pitted outside the pit box, and we had to go to the tail end. So was able to rebound up to seventh, but yeah, just kind of struggling, being really insecure and lacking that security on the entry of the corner was the biggest thing for me.
And now I want to go back to your second place finish in the Xfinity race at Richmond. And obviously I know you wanted to win that race more than anybody in the field. And you were seen on pit road kind of pacing, hands on your hips, looked really super disappointed. And you actually were kind of doing the same thing out at West at Tucson Speedway in the Chili Willy 150 earlier on this year when I was there with you. And I was just curious, I mean, you get so, you're so hard on yourself all the time, which I feel like can be a blessing and a curse a little bit. But where did that competitive fire and spirit come from? Has that kind of been ingrained in you since you started racing as a little kid?
Yeah, I'm just so dedicated to the sport. And I know I might come off as the clown and the guy who likes to joke around, but deep down, and the people who I'm surrounded with really know that I put my heart and soul into this sport. And yeah, I like to have fun with it, but I also, when it's time to put the gloves on and time to put the helmet on and strap in, it's time to do business, it's time to do work. And so when I don't win, it's not from being a poor sport, it's from knowing that I have to lay down in bed for the next 20 years or until the day I die every single night and think, man, I could have won my first ever Xfinity start, and I was right on the leader's bumper. And if I would have done maybe something different or tried something else, I would have won my first ever Xfinity start. So, I mean, it's not going to kill me, no, but I'm going to look back and lay in bed every single night from then to the day I die and think, man, what are the what-ifs, could-has, should-has that could have happened so I could have won that race?
Yeah, no, I know you said something very similar to me after that Richmond race, so it's cool how you know, you're so hard on yourself, but you're very competitive, and obviously you want to win. Now, guys, I know we usually start with the Cup Series, but I want, since Noah ran in Xfinity and the Truck Series this week, and we had a triple header, I want to talk about the Xfinity Series first this weekend. Zach, I know you dug the hell out of this race. Justin all got a little over half of it. Held off a hard-charging Elliott Sadler. How would you assess that race as a whole, Zach?
It was a lot of fun. I mean, I spend, as a photographer, when you're shooting by the fence, I mean, you usually only see what's happening. I was in turn one and two, so you see a lot of that. But every time I went back to the media center, I spent a lot of time these last couple of days rewatching a lot of the race, and I was really impressed with a lot of the racing action. And I know by the track, what I saw was that the track was really rubbering up. Seemed like it was rubbing up pretty well. We saw quite a few grooves. And, you know, when it came down to the end there with Sadler and Allgaier, that was just a tremendous heartfelt battle. I know, and I asked Allgaier after the race if there's any other racer that he really feels more trustworthy with, and he really doesn't think so. I mean, just him and Elliott just have that bond. They really understand each other, how they want to race each other, not just as teammates, but just as drivers and just as people. And Elliott had a lot on the line there. He had not only $100,000, but it was one main financial race, and that's obviously his sponsor at JRM. So I wasn't really sure what to expect there, but we definitely saw two guys give it their all on that last lap.
Davey, what did you think of the race?
I thought it was a really, really compelling race. And, I mean, obviously we kind of have recency bias when it comes to the finishes of any race in the Premier Series or in the Touring Series. But, I mean, the end of that race gave me some thoughts about that 2003 clash at Darlington between Kurt Busch and Ricky Craven. I mean, I thought that Sadler was just going to drive in as deep as he possibly could and battle his teammate to the start-finish line. Now, unfortunately for him and the number one team, they didn't really get the chance to go door-to-door, side-by-side to the start-finish line. But with that being said, I mean, that's the type of finish that you as a fan and as a competitor as well want to see and want to be a part of. I mean, those are two guys laying it all out on the line on the last lap and going for $100,000 too. And I mean, for Elliott Sadler, it was nice for him to kind of be a giver for a change because he's won $200,000, won the past two Dash for Cashes, so giving it up to his teammate. But I have a question for Noah. Noah, if you were to win that $100,000, and keep in mind, this is a PG-13 rated podcast, what would you do with that money?
If I would actually get it, it'd be pretty cool. The team takes all of it, unfortunately. Contracts are set up. So, I'd probably honestly save it. I don't need anything in my life right now. I'd probably buy some V-Bucks on Fortnite.
For sure.
And I'd probably spend $200 on some V-Bucks on Fortnite. And then, I don't know, that's pretty much it. And then probably save it, probably invest it into some Apple stocks or something.
There you go.
I knew you'd have your priorities straight.
Yes,
I got you.
Smart kid. Noah, from the driver's seat, though, was that a fun race? And I know you finished seventh, so you really didn't see that the side-by-side for the ending, but we haven't seen a lot of racing like that at Dover in recent years.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool. It was a tough one, that's for sure. Just for myself personally, I don't think the race was necessarily hard from the driver's standpoint. Like, it wasn't 100 degrees out, and, like, it wasn't physically demanding. It was just, like, just for me, I mean, I was swatting flies out there. We were really loose, and just trying to get my Switch Toyota Camry better was the hardest thing for me. So it took a while, that's for sure, but we finally got there on the last pit stop. We finally adjusted the correct amount that we need and got closer. But, I mean, it was fun. I had a good time out there. I always have a good time behind the wheel, and I'm just very fortunate to be able to be on the racetrack. And I know we finished seventh, so it's not great, but it's always a good day when you're at the racetrack, so no complaints there.
Now, guys, the past month in the Xfinity Series has all been Xfinity regulars. We had Ryan Preece win at Bristol. We had a great race at Richmond with Christopher Bell and Noah going at it at the end. Talladega's always entertaining. And then this past weekend at Dover, a hell of a race, like we already mentioned. We need more of these races, don't we, Zach?
Yeah, I don't see it as a coincidence. I know it was one of the topics on NASCAR and NBC today was just how it really affects the racing and how it affects the competition. And we hear it all the time from even the smaller teams that they enjoy when the Cup guys are racing because they get to learn a lot. But just when it comes to the people outside, you know, sitting in the stands, watching on TV, whatever, there has seemed to be a pretty solid shift in the competition on the track. And I was watching that race, and usually races like that are for second or third. You know, when Kyle or Kevin Harvick or someone's out there, and that would be the battle for second or third. And it was just a cool change to see for the race win. And we're starting to get there. You know, we got the Dash for Cash races, no Cup guys. We got a few standalones at Iowa and a couple road courses, the playoff races as well. So we're getting to the point where Cup guys are slowly getting their ways out. I'm not sure if it's the correct amount. I just want to see a good race. I mean, if it's Kyle Busch and Joey Logano up there racing for the win, I enjoy it. But it is the Xfinity Series, so I mean, seeing Sadler and Allgaier or Ryan Preece and Brandon Jones at Bristol, I mean, those are the types of races that I really, really seem to enjoy a little bit more. So yeah, we're getting there, but 100%, I've seen just a tremendous shift in the competition these last 4 weeks.
Davey?
Yeah, I would tend to agree, and it's a double-edged sword for me because part of me says, okay, these last few races have been absolutely incredible, breathtaking across the board, and what's the common denominator? Obviously, Xfinity drivers only. But then the other side of me says, okay, well, and no, I want to get your thoughts on this too. Most of the Xfinity Series regulars seem to like racing with the Cup guys because they can learn from them. And frankly, we all know that this sport is a business and it's about making money. And without Cup guys racing in the lower series, like Xfinity, like Trucks, and even the K&N series sometimes, then these series would not be able to function the way they do on a weekly basis. So I understand that we need to let these Cup guys dabble in the lower series every now and then. But I actually think that what the Xfinity series has in place right now with prohibiting the Cup drivers from competing in the Dash for Cash, that gets Comcast and Xfinity some notoriety with their program and also spotlights the Xfinity drivers only. And for the final 10 races in the playoffs, there's going to be no Cup drivers in that in those final 10 races either. So I feel like those last 10 races are going to kind of be what we've seen in this past month or so, with the Xfinity drivers only kind of putting on a show. But no, I mean, do you kind of share that same sentiment that a lot of the other drivers in the garage have been saying, that you like to race against these Cup guys because you just learn so much from them?
I mean, I feel like everybody's going to say, like, oh, yeah, I mean, myself included, I'm guilty of it. Like, oh, yeah, we like racing against the Cup drivers. But there's only one reason why we like racing against the Cup drivers. It's because when you beat them, it makes it a little bit more prestigious.
Oh, but yeah.
At the end of the day, a win's a win. And from a driver's standpoint, a young driver like myself, who doesn't have an opportunity in the NASCAR Xfinity Series to get into a good ride, it's kind of, it's what you say is a double-edged sword. I agree with that. And I have two things. I think, yes, you can learn from the Cup drivers, but then on the flip side, there's two reasonings why it's good to have standalone races. One, because we put on a good show, and then two is because it gives opportunity to a young driver who's climbing his way up the ranks. If there would have been no Dash for Cash races here, or there would have been Dash for Cash races, but the rule was that Cup drivers could run like the previous years, I wouldn't have had the opportunity to be able to get into equipment like Joe Gibbs Racing equipment. So for me personally, and for young drivers who have a great sponsor like Switch and Safeway Auto Glass, and who are willing to make this step with me to move up to the next series, it just gives us an opportunity when we wouldn't have had that opportunity.
Yeah, and I mean, I was looking at some stats earlier this week for my column that comes out Thursday, and prior to this weekend, Kyle Larson led the most laps this year in the Xfinity Series, 203, and he's only competed in two races. So even though there was four consecutive Xfinity races with no Cup drivers, I mean, Xfinity drivers obviously leading all the laps, but it's kind of a balanced season this year, Zach, which I think is kind of cool, even though JRM does have the top three spots in points.
Yeah, it's been a little bit. Yeah, as I said, just looking at the competition and everything, everyone's been looking at either JRM or Joe Gibbs, and you know, even the Penske guys have been getting up there. And Austin Cindric, I feel like, is improving a little bit. We've seen him with a few different teams, Roush as well. So I feel like there's a little bit, as you said, a little bit more variation up top. But yeah, it's something that I still can. That I'll be interested to see if it continues when the Cup guys return these next few weeks.
Davey.
I just think that the Xfinity Series has been dominated by Junior Motorsports lately. I mean, that's obviously what we see when it looks at the point standings, right? I mean, we had Junior Motorsports 1-2-3 last year, and obviously it's early on this year, but we got them 1-2-3 again with Michael Annett kind of on his own island down there in the teens or so. But that's kind of what we've seen in the Cup Series lately, too. I mean, going back a couple of years, we saw Joe Gibbs Racing dominated at the top of the standings. A couple of years before that, we had Hendrick Motorsports dominating the series. And now, I mean, we don't have them 1-2-3, but Stuart Haas Racing looks to be the class of the field in the Cup Series. So some people are going to say, oh, we gotta limit Junior Motorsports. We gotta tone down on what they're doing there in their shop. But to those people, I say, why now? I mean, we haven't stopped Hendrick Motorsports from doing it before. We haven't stopped, Joe Gibbs Racing from doing it before in the Cup Series. We haven't stopped Thor Sport or Kyle Busch Motorsports from doing it in the Truck Series. This sport is all about flows. It ebbs and flows in different ways for different teams. Toyota was not good a couple years ago for the first half of the season, and in the second half of the season, it seems like whenever they did not win a race, the sky was falling. So it just seems like these things just have a way of working themselves out. Now, I have no doubt in my mind that the Penske guys and even the Stewart Haas Racing guys, Cole Custer especially, are going to definitely compete for this Xfinity Series championship, but right now, it's all JRM all the time.
Yeah, with JRM, it's like outsteps William Byron, insteps Tyler Reddick, and it's same results right at the top, top three. Now, Noah, before we get to the Cup Series, I want to talk a little bit about the truck race. Like we mentioned, Johnny Sauter won. But you guys had six straight weeks off, so how was it to get – I know you raced at Richmond and Talladega before Dover, but how exciting was it to just get back in the truck?
It was good. I mean, I never had a weekend off. just simply because I was racing a super late model. I was racing the Xfinity car. So, I mean, it was good to get back in the truck, no doubt about that. But I also had a lot more confidence when I got back in the truck. It was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun getting back in the truck, and I had a lot more confidence, like I said. So, I don't know. I just love racing. I like having fun with it, and as many laps as I can get on the racetrack is always good. To be able to go there at Dover to get back in the truck is even more fun.
And, Zach, I know you were shooting the race and covering it there for Front Stretch. How did you like that race?
Yeah, again, I really, really enjoyed it. I think Trucks and Xfinity put on a great show. And with the Trucks, I was really – a lot of what I do is I focus on the smaller teams, the underdogs, and there was a couple that really stood out to me. Parker Kligerman was one. He got to get up there and lead a few laps. He held off Sauter for a little bit. I believe he led 8 laps or so in his 75 car, his truck. And unfortunately, man, just another issue took him out of the race. I think they had a similar issue at Dover last year. And I'm glad they got that Dega win at least, but they just have a lot of mechanical gremlins. And Jesse Little as well, he was up there. He ran as high as 2nd in his family-owned team up there. And I mean, he still got a top 10 at the end of the day, led the team's first ever laps. But, I mean, God, there was just so much more on the table, I feel. So 2 disappointments there, but 2 other guys, David Gillen and Joe Nemechek, 2 of the older guys. David Gillen getting a top 5 for his own truck. I mean, that was really neat. We didn't really expect him to race again, at least not for a little bit after Daytona. And here he comes in the 54 and really did a good job in that truck. And Joe Nemechek with a top 10, that was great to see. It's crazy how long he's been racing and how he still seems to have that edge on the racetrack, even a track like Dover. So just a lot of cool storylines that came out of that race, and obviously just a tremendous battle at the end with Noah and Johnny. I mean, a lot of blocking, a lot of great side-by-side moves, and just start to finish, I really enjoyed the race that day.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like, you have the KBM trucks like Noah, but then you got the small teams, like you were mentioning, the Joe Nemechek, the David Gillens, the Jesse Littles. It's cool to see them overachieve, Noah, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, I mean, David Gillen, they have really good equipment. I've driven their equipment in the ARCA Racing Series and also in the K&N Series. So, David, they do a really good job over there, just preparing fast trucks. And, yeah, it's definitely cool to see those guys run good.
Davey, do you have anything to hit on the truck race?
Full disclosure, I was actually not able to watch the truck race because I was graduating college, which means I'm really old and it's weird.
No excuse.
Like, talk about it. Sorry. But, I mean, I obviously saw the highlights and the ending was incredible. Obviously, wish it would have ended a little better for you, Noah, obviously. But, I mean, the ending was incredible racing. And I just think throughout, I mean, I've said for years that the truck series is the best racing among the top 3 divisions in NASCAR, week in and week out. And I wish... And I've been pleading and hoping to God every single night that trucks would kind of consolidate their schedule a little bit more to have maybe not more racing, but for it to be less spread out. I mean, we don't need over a month off from the truck series, which, like I said, I think is the best racing in the top 3 premier series right now, because we want to see guys like you, Noah. We want to see you battle the veterans like Matt Crafton and Johnny Sauter and Joe Nemechek, who's been racing since 1855, and all these guys just race week in and week out in these trucks. I mean, just to kind of put it on like a micro level, I mean, pretty much all my friends don't get NASCAR, right? So I'm watching truck races sometimes, and they're saying, wait, they race trucks too? And I'm like, yeah, it's incredible. They're pickup trucks that are going 200 miles an hour on Talladega Super Speedway. It's incredible. So, I mean, when people tune in and see that, they're like, oh, wow, this is pretty cool. I can get behind this. These are just some dudes racing some trucks. And then when I tell people that there's guys that are in their mid to upper 40s and there's also guys that are late teenagers, they're like, wow, the spectrum is huge. So, look, man, I've said it for years, and I'll stand by it. I love the truck series. I wish that it got more coverage, and I wish that we had more races and we could mix up the schedule, but that's a whole different topic in and of itself. I just love truck racing.
Yeah, Davey, I agree with everything you just said. It's like we can't get into a rhythm because there are 23 races, but they're so spread out. They're spread out over 9.5 months.
Right. I mean, look, I mean, just to touch real quick, I mean, I've had the privilege of covering a handful of K&N Pro Series races. No, I mean, I was there at Bristol when you smashed the track record. And look, I mean, I know the trucks race at Bristol, but why can't the trucks go to tracks like South Boston or Tucson or all these small local short tracks that can host a truck series race? Memphis Motorsports Park, there's no reason why they can't have a truck race there. Kern County Raceway Park, you know, a track that you've raced at a handful of times out on the West Coast. I mean, you can't tell me that the trucks would not put on a hell of a show there. So I know that that's up to the big wigs that make a lot more money than I do and have a lot of more power, and it's not going to be up for debate for another couple of years with the sanctioning agreements. But I think that when it is up for debate, if they were able to bring grassroots racing back into the Premier Series, or the Truck Series, I should say, I think that would bring a lot of positivity to the sport and bring a lot more notoriety to the Truck Series. Maybe like less is more type of a thing. You don't have to race at Texas or Kansas in the trucks when you can still put on a hell of a show at a half-mile racetrack.
Yeah, and you've heard drivers like Kevin Harvick push that notion, which is my segue into the Cup Series. Kevin Harvick put on a clinic this past weekend, guys. He won all three stages en route to his fourth victory this season, Zach. When he qualified second on Friday, we probably should have realized that this was probably going to happen, right?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. he's never. It's not like it's one of his best tracks in the past, but he seems to have won well ever since he's been with SHR, but just the wins have been tough. He won there back in 2015, but not too much since then. But yeah, once he gets out front, he reminds me a lot of Martin Truex Jr. Just when he gets the lead, it's really tough to beat him out there. And he just put on another clinic, you know, once he got past Bowyer. I mean, it just seemed like Bowyer and Keselowski early on, those are the two guys who were going to put up a little bit of a fight. And he was able to just beat him out. You know, he stayed on point with the conditions, and just nothing seemed to really face him. Just typical Harvick, I guess. So, four wins already. I keep on trying to pick between him or Kyle Busch on who's been the biggest this year. It's definitely up for debate. Harvick, he's won the most races now, and I believe he's led the most laps. And who knows when it's going to end? It could last all year.
Yeah, he's led the most laps by almost 250 laps over Kyle Busch. Noah, what can stop this four team?
The 39 others. I don't know. It's just these teams that I've seen, they go in waves. You'll have a team that'll be dominate for 7-8 races, and then for half a year, and then they might not be great after that. So you see the Toyotas will be good for 2 or 3 years, and then they're not worth a damn. And then you'll see the Fords not be worth a damn, and now they're really good and really fast. And then you'll see the Chevys not be worth anything, and then they'll be the dominant one. So it goes in waves. And so once other teams start hitting on something and start figuring other stuff out, I guess I'll get beat then.
But Davey, it's hard to argue right now that he is the top driver, right? I mean, he does have 4 wins out of the 11 races.
Right, yeah. I think.
But Zach, why is like he the top said, driver?
Because he's with the top team. Because he's with the top team right now, and results don't lie. I mean, you can argue that maybe a guy like, I mean, we had him on the podcast a couple weeks ago, right? Matthew Benedetto. He's been getting a lot of positivity from around the garage, saying he's kind of the guy doing the most with the least right now. But I think, look, Kevin Harvick, he's kind of touted this whole thing this year about old guys rule, right? And NASCAR pushing the younger stars and kind of, quote-unquote, neglecting the older guys. But I think when you look at the stats, they just don't lie. I mean, 4 wins, he's absolutely leading the most laps that he's ever led so far this early on into a season. And he's driving the best that he ever has in his career, which has spanned almost 2 decades right now. So I think that he can be stopped. I mean, it's like, no, you said it, the sport is, it's all about flows. Like I said earlier, I mean, Kyle Busch could go on another tear and win 3 or 4 races in a row. Brad Keselowski could come out of nowhere and win 3 or 4 races in a row. Chase Elliott can get his first win, and then the floodgates could open and he could win 5 in a row. I mean, you just never know. But right now, I just think the results and the performance week in and week out of that SHR team have got to put Kevin Harvick at number one right now.
Yeah.
Well, see, I disagree. I think it needs to be said that Kevin Harvick and his team have done the best job all year. I feel like Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, Jimmy Johnson, and Kyle Larson are the top 4 best drivers in the series. But I don't think you can accurately say that this year Kevin Harvick is the best driver. I think just all the puzzle pieces are coming together.
I think that's very fair, actually, because, I mean, like you said, I mean, NASCAR racing, it's obviously not all about the driver. You could argue that it might be more about the team and the car than it is the driver in some cases. So that's a very fair point. I mean, SHR, you got to give a ton of credit to them because they're obviously putting a ton of work in the shop, working their butts off, and they're putting really fast race cars on the track. Obviously, a championship caliber driver in Kevin Harvick does not hurt matters whatsoever. But, I mean, look, if you put anybody in that car, they're going to go fast. It's just a matter of how they're going to conserve their tires on a long run at a track like Dover, not making mistakes on pit road. And we've seen Jimmy Johnson, a team that has dominated the Cup Series for the past two decades or so, shoot themselves in the foot in the past couple of years. So that's a good point you make. I feel you.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kyle just won three straight races. Like, yeah, just as we've been saying, it's really easy to forget. It seems like every week we have, like, a new season. It's cool to see that we have three, four, five, you know, guys who are at the top, and it just seems like every week someone's upping the next guy, and we have to kind of change our expectations for each guy. So right now Harvick is the top, but it can absolutely easily change next week.
Yeah, and Zach, he's got four wins already, and the most he's ever had in a season's five, which he's done twice. It's safe to say he's probably going to eclipse that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't see him winning just once more this year. But it's so hard to win. Like, we just saw, like, it's no news. It's hard to win in Cup. It's hard to win anywhere. But, I mean, Truex was so incredible last year, and he had, what, eight wins? I mean, that's great. That's awesome. But, I mean, hitting 10 wins is something we don't see much at all. I think Jimmy did it back in 2007. It's really rare. So, I mean, he's already at four. Who knows how, I mean, this could be a different year. But just as we've been saying, the competition is really, really stiff up there. We're probably going to have, me and Dustin will talk about it over the weekend, maybe 13 different winners. But there's not 13 dominant cars. It's really down to about three, four, five up there. So, yeah, I would say definitely more than four, for sure. This isn't his last win.
No, he's probably getting more than five, right?
Yeah, I think I'll get six wins this year, six or seven, maybe.
Davey?
Much like that.
Yeah, I'd probably say around six or seven. I'd probably lean more towards seven just because we're so early on in the season. I mean, it's kind of crazy to think about. Plus, you got to remember his best tracks. I mean, we've gone to a couple of his best tracks already. He's obviously won at Phoenix already, but you got Phoenix later on in the year. Statistically, his best track besides Phoenix is Homestead Miami Speedway, which if he's in the championship four, that might bode well for him. And he obviously has won at Texas last year, and I know he really, really wants to win at Pocono Raceway, I think that's his only remaining track on the Cup circuit, maybe Kentucky as well, that he has not won on in a Cup car. So he definitely wants to check those two off of his list. So I'm definitely going to be looking at the four team to perform well at those two racetracks as well.
Yeah, and he's finished second a bunch of times at Pocono, so that win's so close. But Noah, I thought it was kind of interesting how you said that the manufacturers kind of go in waves, because this has kind of been Ford season so far, with the exception of Kyle's three wins. They led 374 of the 400 laps on Sunday. The only non-Ford driver to lead was Alex Bowman. I know they announced a few weeks back that they're going to the Mustang next year, but it doesn't really look like they need to.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like NASCAR is starting to... NASCAR is starting to trend into the performance cars rather than the sedans. Ford is getting rid of all of their passenger cars, except for the Mustang. They're going to SUVs and to pickup trucks only. So the Mustang will be the only car. So that's why they have to change.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting. But Davey, it's not, we haven't seen Ford do this in a long time, win so many races so early.
Right. And I mean, looking at it on paper, you think, okay, Chevrolet has a new car. They're obviously going to have some growing pains, but once they get over those, they'll probably be hitting their stride and win a lot of races. Toyota obviously has been the class of the field for the past year and a half, 2 years or so, and Ford has the oldest body and the oldest nose, and regarded by many in the garage as the worst nose out of the three manufacturers at the current moment in the Cup Series. So you're thinking to yourself, all right, looks like this might be a lame duck season for Ford, and lo and behold, you have Eric Almirola slide into the 10 car, who's vastly outperforming Danica Patrick's results in that car for Stewart Haas Racing. You have Clint Bowyer snap a winless streak for SHR. Ryan Blaney heading over to Team Penske in the mothership. His win is probably right around the corner. Logano's already gotten into victory lane. Keselowski's bound to get a win soon, sometime in the next probably five races or so. Kurt Busch is knocking on the door, and so is Almirola. So, I mean, Ford is just absolutely kicking everybody's butt right now, and you have Kyle Busch. But, I mean, other than him, we haven't really seen, winning performances on a regular basis so far from the Toyota camp, and Chevrolet has obviously got a long way to go if they want to compete week in and week out with that new Chevrolet Camaro ZL1, which looks badass, but it's not performing as well as it looks right now. So, like you said, Ford is just taking everybody to the woodshed right now, but I don't think that that's going to last forever.
Yeah, and the one that's left on the sidelines is Chevy. I mean, Kyle Larson is their top driver, and he's been solid this year. He's had some bad luck, but I believe he's 10th in points. And, you know, we talk about Ford. It's been 16 years since they've had a manufacturer's championship. So it's just, as you said, it kind of comes in waves, but this Ford thing kind of took me by surprise a little bit, especially to see SHR, as we said, as a foursome, all going towards the front. And two of them already have wins, and the other two I feel like are getting there as well. And Penske's doing a great job as well. So, yeah, Chevy's the one that's kind of left on the sides. I feel they're gaining a bit with Hendrick, but, I mean, top 10s are good days, and top 5s we'll see how many they can get, but I think Chase is doing a very good job too. It's just those penalties that really brought him down. So if they can just avoid those penalties and really start chipping away at that new Chevy nose, I think they can actually start getting the victory lane. But, yeah, I do see it as a Ford and Toyota battle, at least at this point in the season.
Yeah, the next best in class this weekend was Daniel Suarez, who had a career performance on an oval this past weekend in third. That's three straight top tens at Dover's in three races. And, no, I know you said earlier Dover's kind of a driver's track, but is that what makes Daniel so good at this track?
I don't know. I got to look back at – I'd have to look at, like, the racing reference and see what his history is at Dover and see kind of what his results been in the past. But, I mean, all those guys are good drivers. There's no doubt about that. Every single guy in the Cup Series – is a good driver, and you can't take that away from him. It's just it's just all circumstantial, and I mean, I think Daniel does a good job regardless of what the track is. So I don't know, he did a good job this weekend, so that's a good thing for him.
Zach, we were both there. That's the best I've seen him drive in a Cup car in a while.
And he needed it. I mean, it's been a long time since he's been in the top five. He had that great race at Watkins Glen last year, won a stage as well. But when you look at his teammates, Eric Jones is doing, subpar this year. I expected a lot better results, at least after the first 11 races. And Denny and Kyle are doing a great job. So Suarez, I believe this puts him up to 17th in points. I mean, that's a solid help. He still has some work to do. But, a top three finish at a track like Dover and Oval, as we said, and he had his cast on his thumb as well, so he's been through a lot these last few weeks, and I really feel like he's starting to get this Toyota under his belt a little bit, and I definitely hope there's more results to come, because when you're on a team like that, there's certainly a lot of pressure to not only do your best and get those results and win, but to actually stay up to speed with your teammates as well, so hopefully more results like this are to come for that 19.
Davey?
Yeah, I can't really add much more to what you guys have already all said. I mean, Daniel's obviously a proven champion in this sport. He's in one of the top teams' equipment that we have in this sport. I'm not going to go as far to say that his win is right around the corner, because I still think that he has a little bit more to go to get there in terms of running up front on a consistent basis in the top five, battling guys for position for, 20, 30, 40 lap green flag runs like Harvick, Busch, Hamlin, Jimmy Johnson, guys of that ilk. But look, he's been very, very impressive. I was at Watkins Glen last year when he had his then career best run of third place, I believe, as well. But that, of course, is on a road course, which he kind of grew up racing down in Monterrey, Mexico. So great, great run for him. And like you mentioned, playing a little hurt / injured. So you got to feel for a guy like that who's giving it his all when he's not at 100%. So I've been on the Suarez train for a while. I think that he could be very, very beneficial and transformative for the sport to kind of get a new demographic, the Hispanic community, back into NASCAR racing. Obviously the Peak Mexico series is doing pretty well for itself, but to get Daniel Suarez into victory lane in a Cup car, that would be a whole different animal.
Yeah, agreed. Now, guys, before we sign off, any final thoughts?
I just think that Dover was a pretty, pretty good race. I can kind of consider it my home track, considering it's 2 hours away from me. It's the closest one, and I wasn't able to go this year, but it kind of breaks my heart to see more tarps being put on the seats, not only just at Dover, but racetracks around the country. Look, when you have the right tire combination, when you have the right circumstances play out, Noah, like you said, racing is all about circumstances. It's entirely circumstantial. Dover is one of the best racetracks that we have. People consider it kind of like a bigger version of Bristol, and I would kind of agree with that. It's mentally taxing. It's one of the most physically taxing racetracks that we have. And even though Sunday's race wasn't a barn burner, I mean, well, it kind of was, but when you have Kevin Harvick winning a race by 7-plus seconds, it's not the most compelling finish in the world. But I think what we saw in the Xfinity event and also in the truck event, I think that the future of the sport, it can't be overstated. I mean, it's so super promising. It's shining bright right in our faces, and I can't wait to see guys like Noah battling for wins on Sundays.
Yeah, it was, I mean, every so often you see races that are good, you see races that are bad. 7-second lead, side-by-side for the end. It's just how racing is, you know. It's tough to find consistency with when you're going to see a good race and not. But I wish the weather was a little bit better for Sunday. Perhaps that played effect. But it was a huge weekend for the ladder series for Xfinity and trucks. I really got to see a lot of talent get to showcase their talent out there on the racetrack. So that was really, really cool to see. And yeah, overall, I just had a tremendous time at the track. And, you know, there was just a lot of great action. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and one final note. As we tape this on Tuesday, NASCAR, and ironically enough, Noah, this may affect you. NASCAR and Camping World expanded their partnership, providing Gander Outdoors as the entitlement sponsor next year. I think that's kind of cool. Kind of a different name for the series, Noah.
Yeah, what is Gander? I don't know what that is. I don't really know what it is either. All I know is that Marcus, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, so I kind of call him Marcus Lemons, which is not right. But Marcus, Moments. He owns, yeah, sure. Marcus owns Camping World, and he also owns Gander Outdoors. So I don't really know what it is. I know that they sponsored a cup car for like a one-off race at Martinsville a few years ago, but I mean, new sponsors in the sport can't be bad, right?
For sure.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Cool. Well, appreciate you joining us this week, Noah.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
For sure.
Get back on the Fortnite grind, my dude.
I'm trying.
And good luck this weekend at Kansas.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Sure. And until next weekend where we review Kansas and preview the All-Star race, we'll catch you around, and we out.
Sounds good. See you guys.
Yeah, see you now.